Welcome back. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. Always want to get the best and brightest minds on the air with us to make you a smarter football fan, a smarter sports fan. Guys like Russell Brown, the national scout for Cover One, the host of the Cover One NFL Draft Podcast. Our guest now in the sports bar. Russ, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Russ, we've got the offensive lineman on the brain here with another signing for the Buffalo Bills. But the Bills actually had reps today out at Washington State for the Pro Day, and that's where offensive tackle Andre Dillard is one of those players they're looking at. Is he the type of prospect that could go as high as number 9 overall?
I think so. I'm very much a big fan of him. I've got him at 10th on my overall big board. That's the final spot for him. I'm a big fan of what he can do. I think he's the most athletic left tackle in this draft. He ran a 4.96 in the 40-yard dash. He had 24 reps in the bench. And at 6'5", 315, just over 33-inch arms, I think he fits everything that you're looking for. And one of the biggest things that stand out with him is the lower body footwork and the quickness that he has and that he can really match and mirror speed rushers with that. This past year, he's learned how to deal with counter moves from speed rushers, and he's using a snatch trap technique, which is basically where he's getting up and underneath defensive linemen and swatting their hands away and basically falling on top of them. So for him to have this consistent ability and relying on that, it's just a big step in the process for him. And I think he's a great fit for Buffalo. I think he's very much on the table at the 9th overall pick. It would really allow some flexibility with Deion Dawkins, who could come in and maybe move to left guard or maybe try the right tackle position depending on how they would want to go about it. But I think Andre Dillard is certainly a player for the left tackle spot.
Russell Brown, national scout at Cover One, joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia talking some NFL draft. And Russell, when you see the moves that the Bills have made so far in free agency and the signing of Quentin Spain, as Gene mentioned, you know, offensive guard being the latest, they've telegraphed the positions that have they telegraphed some of the positions that they're going to be looking to target in the draft. I mean, this signing, another offensive line signing, they're going to be looking defense first round, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it went, again, like referring back to that first question of Andre Dillard, it wouldn't surprise me if he was on their radar with the way that they've been addressing this offensive line. But realistically, with six signings now up front, I think, you know, Spain, Morris, Jake Fisher, the list goes on and on. I think these are just signs that, hey, they are probably leaning towards, I think, really two directions, the number one receiver or defensive line. I know last time we spoke, we talked about DK Metcalf. I know we'll talk about him here momentarily. I still think he's very much on the table and an option for them. But with the way Sean McDermott is and with the way Brandon Bean is, it certainly seems like going probably best defensive player available is the option for them. And it's probably going to be a defensive back, but could be Ed Oliver. It could be somebody like Christian Wilkins. We don't know exactly where they have him on their board, but I'm a big fan of him. I've got him at 16 or 17 on my big board, so I think he's a great fit as well. So I think it's probably going to be somebody on the defensive line if they're going defense.
Russell Brown is the national scout for Cover One, also the host of the Cover One NFL Draft Podcast, our guest here in the sports bar. You know, Russell, this time last year up in Western York, all we were talking about was the quarterbacks for good reason. Great quarterback class, and it'll be fun tracking those guys for years to come. As far as this year's class, where do you come down? And, you know, who do you think should go in round one? And what do you think is behind the sudden surge in Ryan Finley's stock?
Well, you know, it's funny with Ryan Finley. Ryan Finley was the guy that was my preseason quarterback number one. As people say on Twitter, it's the house that I built. You know, so if you're talking Ryan Finley, please wipe your feet off at the door. Ryan Finley is he's a guy that, you know, he doesn't have the elite arm strength. He doesn't have the elite athletic ability, but he's a player that I think has, you know, relatively good decision making. He doesn't necessarily do everything that you need him to do when he's under pressure, but realistically, what quarterback doesn't? So there are some flaws there, but I think out of the three areas of the field, I think that he can attack. The two areas that are really most important are the short and intermediate areas of the field, and I think he does a good enough job there, and I think he's capable of reading defenses well enough. I think pre-snap reads and post-snap reads, he does those things correctly. I have him as my fourth-ranked quarterback overall. And just a general feel for this quarterback class, I'm not very high on. I mean, I have Kyler Murray ranked behind Dwayne Haskins. I have Dwayne Haskins at 24th on my big board. Kyler Murray's at 26th. So there's not much of a difference there, just a couple of points here or there. But I'm not as high on this group as last year. You know, I had three quarterbacks in my top 15. I had Josh Rosen at 5. I had Baker Mayfield at 12 and Sam Darnold is at 15. So I like that group a lot better. And with Josh Rosen potentially being shopped around, I think any team that needs a quarterback, I think that's probably the guy that they should go after rather than the guys in this group.
Well, Russ, since you brought it up, you know, I like to think that there's maybe a little artificial deadline that's in place for the Cardinals to trade Josh Rosen should they decide to use that number one overall pick on Kyler Murray. Monday, the team opens their voluntary offseason workout program. It might get a little awkward if the guy that you're trying to deal shows up. Maybe he shows up and you know that tips their hand a little bit that they will be keeping him, or maybe they look to trade him after the draft. Who knows? But if a deal gets done prior to the draft, Russ, where do you see him going, and what's that team going to have to pay for Josh Rosen?
Well, it certainly sounds like the price tag to start was a first rounder, and then it sounded like it would, you know, the Chargers had offered a second round pick, so it certainly seemed like those were the two spots or the two rounds that were getting the most buzz. Some analysts out there say, you know, it should take nothing more than a third-round pick. But if I'm speaking of a specific team, I mean, it seems like maybe the Giants have interest, the Chargers and the Patriots. Makes a lot of sense. They have veteran quarterbacks in Rivers, Manning, and Brady. We know that. And they're not going to play forever. Well, maybe Brady will. But, you know, overall, there's definitely, I think, some interest from all three of those teams. But I think the one team is the Washington Redskins. It's you know, their quarterback room is, I don't want to bash their fan base, but it's not good. I mean, Alex Smith, we don't know if he's going to play again. They went out and got Case Keenum. I'm not sold on that. And just overall, I mean, last year they had Josh Johnson playing quarterback. So I think Washington's certainly a team to watch. They do have quite a few picks in this draft with, you know, the 15th overall pick being one of them. I think that's probably something that they would consider. And it might only just, you know, take a 46th overall pick. So I would think, you know, probably within the next week, maybe 2 weeks, we'll really find out what's going on with Josh Rosen.
Here would be my take, Russell. You tell me if I'm on or off. If I'm Arizona, I don't do anything up until maybe a day before, because maybe some team, you might like Kyler Murray, but some team might make you some stupid offer to go up to number one overall, and then why would you get rid of Rosen at that point? Or maybe some team, everybody will pony up a little bit more at the end for Josh Rosen. So, Russ, I'm of the belief that this isn't going to get resolved until maybe 24 hours beforehand.
It very well could, and this could be really part of the process because, you know, for a long time now, we've been hearing Kyler Murray's the first pick. You can go ahead and change that from, you know, pencil to pen and put him in and write it in Sharpie. But at the same time, we're hearing from two or three beat writers from the Arizona Cardinals that, hey, this guy isn't their first pick. Their first choice is Nick Bosa. So I don't know if these are just smoke screens, but it certainly seems like when there's a lot of smoke, there's fire. And this could just be really a tactic that, like you said, to maybe boost the trade value, whether it is Josh Rosen or maybe it is for Kyler Murray. And if a team like, let's say, Oakland, and I will say I did do some research and did some findings that, you know, the Oakland Raiders wanted three players, Antonio Brown, who they got, and Le'Veon Bell, they didn't get because they ran out of money, and they wanted Kyler Murray. So if there's any truth behind that, well, then, you know, maybe they're the team with the three first-round picks. They'll find something to put packs together, and they'll move up from four to one, and they'll get Kyler Murray.
He is Russell Brown, National Scout for Cover1.net, joining us in the Sports Bar Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. And Russell, I know the last time we had you on with us a while back, we spent some time talking about DK Metcalf. I want to refresh everybody about where you come down on Metcalf. I know some mocks have the Bills taking him as high as 9. Is there a case to be made that you can actually get a return on that kind of investment taking him that early in the first round?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think this will be a Sammy Watkins situation, you know, where you trade up and you deal with a bunch of injuries. I mean, he does, you know, have a history of a knee injury, a neck injury, and things like that. But he's 17th on my overall big board. I think at 9, that's pretty good value for a receiver that I think has untapped potential still. You know, he's not exactly where you want him to be, specifically as a route runner. He's still a little stiff in the hips. And if you check out my Twitter page, I have a video of him running an out route, and I broke it down. And as he's throttling down and breaking towards the sideline, he's probably taking anywhere between 5 to 6 steps. And you want him to probably have 2 or 3 steps. It's just, it doesn't look very fluid. That's probably his biggest flaw, and that's why his 3-cone drill at the combine was at 7.38 seconds. But realistically, when you got a guy that's 6'3", 228, with almost 35-inch arms, who can rep, you know, 27 reps in the bench press and runs a 4.33 with a 40.5-inch vertical, he's certainly a player that you want to have. He's explosive, and I think he fits the prototypical true number one receiver, and I think there's only two players at receiver that fit that mold, and I think it's Hakeem Butler and DK Metcalf for the Buffalo Bills. I know you signed John Brown and Cole Beasley, but those are gadget players. Those are guys that you're going to use for the short and intermediate areas of the field. I know John Brown can go deep. Can't wait to watch Allen throw bombs to him, but realistically, you need a number one receiver, and I think DK Metcalf still makes a ton of sense for the Bills at nine.
At nine. Wow. Along those same lines, Russ, the Iowa tight ends. Look, we all like players, but at what value, at what position? At nine, Hockenson and Fant, wherever they go, they're going to energize the fan bases of the team that select them. But in general, does taking a tight end in round one really ever provide value?
You know, I think it does. I think, obviously it really depends on the player. I mean, Eric Ebron, he struggles with drops, but he was a very productive player in Detroit. Overall, he was very productive in Indianapolis. Sometimes it does take 2 to 3 years to really develop a tight end. Zach Ertz struggled a little bit as a rookie. He was productive, but he's not where he's at now. Travis Kelce the same way. Rob Gronkowski maybe the outlier there, but realistically, it does take 2 to 3 years. But I think these guys in this class, I think it's definitely worth it. Irv Smith would probably be the only one that I would question truly in the first round, unless you're a team like the Oakland Raiders where you have multiple first-round picks. If they keep them, Irv Smith at 27 makes a ton of sense with their situation. But for the Bills at 9, I don't think you take a tight end simply because you signed Tyler Croft. I think maybe a tight end is on the table later in the draft, but realistically, I don't think you need to do it unless you feel like Hockenson or Fant are really those guys. But they're very athletic players. They're very good run blockers, and it's important because tight ends, they have to really know just about everything like a quarterback, because you're run blocking, sometimes you're pass blocking. You have to go out and run routes. And I think Fant and Hockenson, these are two guys that can do all of those things. They're very fluid, and they're very good players at the sense of being able to do all three of those things. I like Hockenson a little bit more, but Noah Fant is right behind him. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of these guys were top 20 picks by the time we're all said and done.
Russell Brown is a national scout for Cover1.net, spending a lot of time talking to our Cover1 guys. We had your colleague Jordan Reed on with us yesterday. He told us a little bit about his draft guide that he's releasing. Tell us more about, Russell, where we can read more of your work and hear more of your work for Cover1.
Yeah, well, you can find me on Twitter, at RussNFLDraft. Smash the follow button, and that's really where I post all the links to something I've written or something that I've worked on, whether it's here on the radio or on the podcast. You can find the podcast on iTunes. Just simply search Cover1 NFL Draft Podcast. You'll find it. Subscribe, rate, review, however you go about your business. And just make sure you're listening to those. And then just Cover1.net. Check it out. Great content all the time, from the X's and the O's to the draft stuff, to the Buffalo Bills, the Giants, the Cowboys. We cover all types of teams, all types of players all the time. My big board will be out probably in about 2 weeks, right around the week of the draft or so. So I'll have a top 160 for you. I don't have a draft guide like JR does, but definitely get that draft guide. It goes to a good cause.
Yeah.
So just check everything out for Cover1.net.
Russ, appreciate your time. Great stuff, and we're only 3 weeks away. Thanks so much, Russ. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Got it. Russell Brown joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia doing great work over there at Cover1.net and making you a smarter NFL fan, getting you ready for the draft. You're right. It's tomorrow. It's 3 weeks
from
tomorrow. 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to be out at the Old Stone Tavern. That's going to be in the South Wedge, which is, 10 minutes from anywhere, but they've got plenty of off-street parking. So we will do the show there, but you and I, Danger, we're not going to be on the air. We're going to be hanging out with everybody. So that was... Well, if you were with us 2 years ago, you saw Danger's head explode. If you were with us last year, you saw my head explode. So I can't see a scenario where our heads are going to explode this year, but that's what makes draft night so fun.
I don't know that I love Metcalf at 9 for the Bills.
Oh, I hate Metcalf at 9.
Yeah. That might make your head explode.
I'm fine if they trade down, and accumulate picks.
And get Metcalf. Yeah. Sure. It's the value, right? Like, I think you can maybe do better than... that in terms of value at 9. But yeah,
he brings up the great point, though. You have all these receivers. He called them gadget guys. You don't have that number one. Now, N'Keal Harry in round 2, Now right. You're talking about.
Yeah, Kiper and McShay did their dual two-round mock draft today at ESPN.com. And in round two, Kiper has the Bills selecting N'Keal Harry from Arizona State. Okay. Does he have the potential to be a number one? Sure. But they said the same thing about Zay Jones coming out of East Carolina a few years ago, and that hasn't really panned out. So we'll see how this regime decides to take a wide receiver in round two once again and hope for better results on what they've gotten thus far out of Zay Jones. If you missed that conversation, we'll get it up for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Our talk with former Buffalo Sabre and Amherst color commentator Rick Sealing is up and on demand right now at ESPNRochester.com. And the radio.com app, free to download to your device. You can listen to us anywhere, anytime.
One note from college basketball we should pass along. It was kind of expected that maybe Brian Hodgkin would be the guy that would slide in there at UB. So the assistant coach at Buffalo will be joining Nate Oates' staff at Alabama. So pretty much for the UB Bulls, it's time to hire somebody from the outside. So the full-blown coaching search is underway now for
back
the UB Bulls.
To the drawing board. Yeah. Okay, good. Good note there. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite size form. Some sad news from Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford.
The AAF will give you a postmortem on that. Also news from the Packers, the latest on Russell Wilson. And yes, the Jets are changing their uniforms. That was to be scheduled for tomorrow night, but in this day and age, sometimes things get leaked, and we'll tell you what the Jets' threads look like.
NFL appetizers next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.